the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You are to understand that backwards if you're going to do this verse. Why? It shined in our hearts what? The light of the knowledge. Light of the knowledge, which is of the glory, which is where in the face, the panim of Yeshua HaMashiach. So to do this, you meditate on the face, panim, which is the same root word for presence. In Hebrew, the word face and presence are synonymous. You look for the face of God, you're seeking the presence of God. You're seeking the presence of God, you're looking for the face of God. Panim, it's in a plural. What is the root word for the word face? Pan. What is the root? What is the pay? Mouth, speak. Pay, right? Panim. What is the noon? Life. So what is the face supposed to do? Speak life. Speak life. You may use your mouth, but you know, when you make different facial expressions, 93% in one of the major studies of communication is nonverbal. You can read expressions, macro, micro expressions right off somebody's face, pick out truth, lies, and it's a whole study unto itself. The face speaks life. Now, so go from that and plug that back in here. You're looking at the face that's speaking life, right? Of Yeshua, of your precious Lord here. In that speaking life, you're to look for the glory, which has within it the knowledge, which has within it the light, which should be found in your heart. And now you can actually do this verse, instead of just memorize the verse. Do you think they're giving a test in heaven on how many parts of the Bible you memorized? I doubt it. God's going to say, can I read that off your life? Can people read it off the pages of your life? St. Francis said it nicely this way. He said, preach Christ, preach the Messiah. If necessary, use words. The word should already be spoken. Shouldn't it be lived out in front of people? Do use words, but your life should be congruent with it. Okay. Therefore, you should be preaching what you practice. Okay, remember what I said. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good. This is a triple analysis with light and dark and the kids of light and dark. Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put dark for light and light for dark, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Colossians 1:13. Let's get some text on the board. Who has delivered us from the power of what? Darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. 1 Thessalonians 5:4. But brethren, you are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. That relates to the rapture. You're not in darkness. You're not separated anymore from God. You're light, not of the darkness. It shouldn't overtake you. Our CDs on two series that will help flesh this out for you. You're drawn to it, called The Last of the Last Days, we did. And another series, An Intense Weekend. Imagine me talking for a weekend.
Yes.
Revelation. This has been it's been remastered. And they're both in the back. Next, we're going to give you what different tapes that we did. So we're not always going on a three-hour tangent when it's already been done. I'll reference them for you that you can supplement your teaching and training with the tapes in the back. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, next verse. For you are all the children of light and the children of the day. Do you remember day? The light, right? God, the light is good, and he calls it day. For we are not of the night, nor of the darkness. God's expanding your knowledge base. Darkness, night go together. John, 1 John 1:5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness, none. At all is, in the text, the actual Greek says, there's no darkness, none. It's like a double negative, but it works in their language. There's no darkness, some will translate, no, not none. There's no darkness, none. No darkness at all. How should his kids look then, if his kids are following him? More and more. We make no excuses. We did a teaching called Christian Athlete. We hammered away at the first part of that from 1 Thessalonians 2:18, where Paul himself said, I desire to come to see you, but Satan hindered me time and again. Do you know how many times people make excuses? Well, maybe I wasn't meant to get there. Maybe you were. Maybe I wasn't supposed to get there. Then why did you go? Some people who show up shouldn't, and others who should have haven't. We don't always get it right. Paul was honest. He said, I desire to come to see you. It's my purpose to come to see you to impart something spiritual to you. But hey, who knows? Maybe the two guys supposed to get the supplies didn't get it. Satan tripped up somebody over here, interfered over here. And he says, we tried. Oh, here's my letter. In the meantime, the best fighters, the best boxers, you look at some of the professional fights, and I'm just talking from a spiritual application here. I'm being brutal. At times the champions, the guy who won, has got hit in the course of the fight. And at times they got hit several times. Sometimes it's almost hard to tell who won. All right? Sometimes it's close. Sometimes even the champions have got knocked down. But they get back up. Yeah. Proverbs 24:16, a righteous man falls 7 times but rises again. Proverbs 24:16. If you're down, it doesn't mean it's over unless you stay down. If you quit, it's over. If you give up, it's over. If you stay down, it's over. But when you're down, stand up inside. Yes. There's something that somebody can never take from you unless you give it to them. Give them nothing. Nothing. Give them less than nothing. Make it so expensive for them. It's called a Pyrrhic victory. The victory is it's one of the words named as a historical battle. This group in history won a famous battle, but it was so costly to this army when they won the battle. One of the men went back to the commanding general and says, one more battle like this, we win, we lose. When it's so costly, you make the enemy pay. You give him nothing. Not a drop of sweat, not a drop of blood, not a tear, not a fear. Nothing. If he had the audacity to touch you or your family, and for whatever reason you missed it, you were busy, your mind was somewhere else, don't make 2 mistakes. Take it back. And then go take everything else from him. You make it very expensive for him to even think about bothering you. And then when you're okay in your household, go check your neighbors. Go check the other people in the body of Messiah. Go look down the block. Go pick a fight. That's Braveheart, right? William Wallace. What are you doing? Where are you going? I'm going to go pick a fight. I'm okay. Somebody else is not. Jesus picked a fight. Shokek me'al Yeshua Shmi. The one rushing from above, Jesus is my name. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, he might destroy the works of the devil. God saw someone that wiped out, had a part in wiping out all his children. You think you're upset? You should probably be upset someone touches your kids. Try to now magnify that for a moment, and God looks down and sees his whole human race wiped out through sin by the first parents, with all the progeny in them being affected for all generations throughout time till he came to the cross. You think you'd be upset? Uh-huh. The one rushing, it's in a book in Bible codes, Behold Yeshua, come and see. It's a central code in Isaiah. The one rushing from above, he rushed down here to get here. In the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4, he had everything timed perfect. So when it was all done, he said, paid in full. Paid in full. It's a done deal. They're free. Therefore, in Galatians 5:1, he says, therefore, keep standing firm and don't be subject again to yoke of slavery. Get the noose off your neck. And if they touch you once, make it so expensive for them to even think. They're going to think long and hard before coming near you again. They should be real afraid of you. When you get up in the morning, it shouldn't be, we know Yeshua and we know Paul. They should say, we know, we know, we know, we know. And you got a long list of all these people showing up on hell's list. Of people they're afraid of when you wake up in the morning. There was a statement about Oliver Cromwell. He was such a man of prayer. It said the Queen of England was more afraid when that man went to his knees to pray than all the standing armies of Europe. Must have got results. Because when he went down, the prayers went up and heaven came down. You got a queen afraid of what this guy's doing, more than standing armies come into your country. You have some power with God. Somebody's able to say, here am I. And they're all there, or enough of them there. Give God something to work with. That's another